The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Episode 27 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by Minute with Mary. So if you still haven't checked out the hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook, I highly encourage you to, because fall is almost here. It kind of is here, but it's 96 degrees, so it doesn't really feel like it, but it's back to school season. And with that come new fall trends. And I'm really excited because I'm going to be having some fall beauty basics events online on Facebook, and I want you to find it. So search that hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook, request to join my marvelous VIPs, and you can also see all the products I offer at MinuteWithMary.com.
He sees his entire future. Notre Dame, Heisman Trophy, first round draft pick, rookie of the year, Super Bowl MVP. He sees his dad in the stands as he holds a Super Bowl trophy. His dad's proud of him, like tears down his eyes, proud of him. He says, "That's my son. That's my son." Pearson's about ready to release. He cocks back. Boom! He's down, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, Pearson's down and he's not getting up. His knee is wrecked. He's not coming back from this one, folks. It is over for Kevin Pearson.
Hey, go call your father.
Yeah.
Find a phone, page him.
Okay. Go.
Okay. Kate,
go.
Will he get up? He will. Ladies and gentlemen, he will. He'll get up. Kevin Pearson will walk again just in time to bury his beloved father. That'll keep him down for good this time, right? Nope, he's up again. He's up again, and he's marrying a terrific girl. He's off to Hollywood, and it's a happy ending for Kevin Pearson. Oh, whoa, wait, nope, hold on now. He cheats on the girl. Yes, that's right, he loses her. And how's he punished? Well, he gets a sitcom and he makes millions, ladies and gentlemen. What will he do with his lucky second chance? Ladies and gentlemen, he'll blow it. That's what he'll do. He blows it all. Surely the universe has to punish him this time, right? Wrong. He gets the girl back. Now he's got the girl back, and it's a movie this time. And then, plop! Oh! There it goes, the same knee. Bam, he's down again. And he tries so hard to be strong, and he needs painkillers to get through it. And even when he tries to tell people how pathetic he is, they don't hear it. They just cheer.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, hello, welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And I think that's the longest open we have ever played.
I would agree.
On This Is Us 2.
I would agree.
And I'm okay with it because it takes a special open for a special episode. You want to know why it's a special episode,
well,
my love?
Do tell why.
Because we finally got some... We got some horses,
baby.
We got
some horses.
Full on horses.
Oh my gosh.
I think we should act. You know what I think we should do? I think we should rate this by horses for this episode,
oh,
as a matter
no.
of fact.
Oh, really?
Oh my goodness. It's that many horses on this. Wow. This episode, it really got me. It probably got me more than most. Because I'll be the first to admit it. I got some serious daddy issues. And I think seeing Kevin struggle with his daddy issues in the big macro sense is what I really found myself clinging to. Most of you know, actually, we just talked about it last episode, that my mother died when I was 18. And while I can't say that my father died, I can say that since my mother died, my father has not been the same guy. And he has not been, my dad was the best dad ever growing up. He was the best kid dad just ever. Anything you ever need was taken care of. He was warm. He was loving. He provided, he did everything. But as an adult, he, you know, he isn't that. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I love my dad.
I like how careful you're being.
I love my dad, and you know, I would do anything for him, and it's not to say that he's a terrible guy. He's not. He's not a terrible guy. He's just not the same anymore. So it's like that version of my dad, the one that I remember so fondly, the one who I felt most loved by, was it's like he's died a little bit. You know, and I actually just had a conversation with him a couple of days ago where, you know, I work with my dad on a daily basis, so this is probably not the most healthy environment for me. But he and I had exchanged some words, and it was not a healthy conversation, I don't think. I mean, it was healthy in the fact that, you know, it was good, but it was not a warm conversation between he and I. And you know, ever since I started podcasting with my beautiful wife and ever since we created Mary and Blake Media, my dad just hasn't gotten it and he hasn't shown any interest in it and he just doesn't care. And he just doesn't care about what I do, really. It is what it is. And all I kept thinking was, as Kevin was saying, I you know, there's my dad. And my dad was my baseball coach. So he was... As a kid growing up, and he was very involved, and you know, I kind of just want my dad to say, "That's my son. That's my son." I want him to be proud of me. And you know, I don't know if he is. So that's that. That's how I was relating to him. I just want him to. I want his approval. And as awful and as toxic as that may sound, it's the truth. I just want him to be proud of me. So, yeah, that...
You just got wicked deep, man.
I know, and if there was a few...
Luckily, your dad doesn't even know that we podcast. Even though you've told him a million times, he still says, so how are those blogs going?
Yeah, what's that blog like there? You know. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. We've been friggin' nominated for the podcast awards.
We just won
the best of Rhode Island.
Podcast, like, yep.
Yeah, for podcasting.
How's that blog going?
Yeah, okay, Dad. Sure. Dick.
I don't think he'll listen to this.
No, there is zero chance that he'll listen to this, so I feel comfortable saying it. I mean, hey, you know what? Even if he did listen, whatever. So the title for this one is... Number One, which refers to the not only nickname that Kevin had as a child because he was the first to come out, but it's also his football number, which was retired by McKinley High in Pittsburgh. The director was Ken Olin, who was the director of The Big Three, The Big Day, Jack Pearson's Son, Moonshadow, A Father's Advice, and Still There. The writer was K.J. Steinberg, who wrote The Best Washing Machine in the World, What Now, and obviously this, Number One. So, my darling, your lemonade rating, what do you got?
My lemonade rating was a big old five! Mm-hmm, finally, mm-hmm. Finally, I was like, chicka, 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 here we go.
Horses.
Wild horses. How about you?
Horses, not ponies. I'm giving this one a big, big old five.
It's my favorite number.
It's because you were born 5/5.
Yep.
Cinco de Mayo, as opposed to Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, a big old five. It was not quite the 5+ of Memphis that I gave it, but it is pretty damn close. It's handily my number 2 episode of This Is Us. Without an issue. And the reason why it's not a 5+ is that I felt like it started off a tad lame. But it took a character that I probably cared about least.
Yeah.
Which, you know, especially with his, what I considered to be a struggle with a cliche struggle with pills, and made me 100% invested in in Kevin. I am all in on Kevin. It took 26 episodes for this to happen.
Hey, it's all good.
But I'm all in on it. Just because, you know, that struggle, that finding out who you are,
yep,
what you are, figuring out who you are, where you belong, and when everything that you believe is just turned and flipped upside down, it really puts you in places where you don't know. And it puts you in, and if any of you out there listen to our podcast for The Leftovers, you actually heard me talk about my depression, and I actually cried on the podcast, which was not totally like, you know, the best look for me.
Hey, it's okay.
But, you know, just that whole battle, questioning yourself and realizing I am no freaking good. I'm no good, man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so that's what I loved about this. So I'm sorry. I'm like hijacking this podcast.
You know, it's okay. You've got like a lot of energy right now, which is good. So let's dive into the GBGs.
All right, what do you got?
You feeling good? All right. So my good, bad, good, great for this episode, my good, just a big shout out needs to go overall in general to the makeup department for this show. You know, our friend Denise had actually was messaging me, and she's like, gosh, they just do such a good job aging people, which, yes, totally does. But this episode making Kevin look like a piece of poop.
Oh yeah, he looked bad. Sweat and his the bags in his
the
eyes.
Bags, oh. The splotchy skin, the sweat, everything. I was like, wow, you know, this is a fine specimen. This is a beautiful man, and the makeup department really uglied him up pretty dang well. So I just need to give my high five.
It's like Liv Tyler. You can't ugly up Liv Tyler.
No,
and
man.
It's kind of hard to ugly Kevin up, but they did.
Okay.
Justin Hartley is
my bad. Is that Kevin needs his dad's necklace back? Oh, is anyone else having heart palpitations about this? Like, what can he do? I've been planning out in my mind what I would have done in this situation, like what my game plan would be going forward. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. I really hope he gets that necklace back. I hope that she's like, whatever, and mails it to him because he needs that back stat. Yep. And then my great is Kevin seeing his dad actually giving the speech instead of his coach.
Right.
You know, he just kind of kept flashing in and out. And to have that moment, you know, we got to have that moment when Randall was tripping on the trip and he got to talk with his dad. So it was really cool to have like the adult actors together. And I liked having that moment again.
Yep.
But God, it just gave me all the feels. How about you? What was your GBG?
I have a GGB.
Good.
And I'm famous for, well, not famous, but I like doing this on episodes that I really, really like.
Yes, you do.
And I do not have a bad. I have a good, great, best.
I love it.
I did the same thing for Memphis. I'm going to do the same thing for this episode. So my good was that there is actually something very comforting about the storytelling in this episode, where Jack is starting the episode behind the camera and filming his children.
Yes, taking their first steps.
And then the ending of the story is, again, with Jack behind the camera waiting for number two to take their first steps. It's bookending at its best.
It's beautiful. It's
right?
So beautiful.
But it's like, it's comforting. It's like, you know that there's a plan here. You know that the writers and the director are taking care of you, that there's a larger story. And there's something comforting about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that portion.
Agreed.
The great was getting Milo and Jack, as you said, my darling, to interact with Kevin. He's interacted with the cast before, and it's always, in my opinion, a major plus. Like you said, they did it with Randall on his mushroom trip in the episode of the trip.
Yep.
But having him give the coach's speech was so touching, and it was so unexpected. Mm-hmm. And I think it's right on tap with who Kevin is. As a person, his insecurities of it all. His insecurity is not as a football player. It's not as the Manny. It's not as a good looking man. It's Kevin Pearson.
Yep.
It's him dealing with his deepest pain, and he's getting drunk or he's all hopped up on Vicodin or whatever. But I think it was stunning because Kevin. Yes, he's hugging the coach after the coach gives the speech, but he's not really hugging him. He's hugging his dad.
His dad.
He wishes he could with his dad.
And yes.
I actually really loved this whole portion, and I just, I loved it because of what Jack was saying, mm-hmm. you know, or the coach was saying, and the guise of Jack, and I have it here, and I kind of want to play it.
Do it.
He fought through the adversity and the heartache.
And he found success on another path. He is, for all you kids out there, a living, breathing example of outer and inner strength. This kid is tough as hell. Kevin, I know this little award may not be much to you,
but for me, who knew you when, who knew your father, you coming back here to get this award, we are all very proud.
It's nothing short of brilliant, right?
Yes.
Because it's everything that he doesn't believe in himself, mm-hmm. and the only thing he can do is hope that his dad says it about him. Right, and then how?
Because so much of that his dad never got to see.
Right,
you know.
Right, unbelievable. Just really great stuff. And the best part.
Yep.
Best part of this whole episode was Ken Olin himself, quickly becoming one of my favorite directors. Not just for This Is Us, but I think in general.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. He fracking kills this episode. The whole episode, whether it's his use of the camera spinning around Kevin during the coach's speech, mm-hmm. and then changing from the coach Duff. To Jack, using the lighting behind, to blind the viewer as Kevin yep. walks up the stage, just like you're in Kevin's POV.
Yep.
The whole monologue with an empty football field, and Kevin, and using both a frenetic handheld camera right close up on Kevin, and then juxtaposing that with a steady, massive wide shot to show how small and empty Kevin really is.
Yes.
Or as silly as it may have been, the tension with the cops as Kevin waits in line to get his prescription.
That was so awkward.
Or and finally, Kevin's pleas to Charlotte about his dad's necklace as he says he needs help on his knees. It was legitimately great television.
I mean,
just
hands down.
Legitimately great television. Mm-hmm. So those are my long-winded, good, great, and bests.
You know, you just covered so much of this episode, and this episode was phenomenal. If you're listening and you're not necessarily rewatching the season, getting ready for season 3 as mm-hmm. it comes on up, I highly recommend that you rewatch this one.
Go back and watch it. I got a feeling that this episode and the next two, which are all titled number 1, number 2, and number 3,
yep.
in my opinion, they're all probably about the three children, mm-hmm. and I think they're all going to be of this quality.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all going to have this style of writing and directing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was all the same writers, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was Ken Olin directing all three of them.
That would be really cool.
That would be my guess. But go back and watch this one. Definitely go back and watch it. I think it's even better because it takes everything we knew about Kevin as a young kid. Like, remember in the pool episode where Kevin was yelling at his parents and he was almost drowning. And he was saying, "You're so busy making sure that Kate's not eating too much and Randall's not too adopted. And meanwhile, where's Kevin? Oh, guess what? He's dead." Oh, and he's not wrong. And as histrionic as that may be, and as funny as that may be, he's not necessarily wrong. And he took that inadequacy that he had as a kid, and when he was in his high school, that was his groove,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And he built a persona that no one, not one person, could avoid. The jock quarterback who wanted to go to Notre Dame. He put down Pitt, had the prettiest cheerleader in the squad,
yep.
in Sophie. You know, it's a great response to that early child and seeing that arrogant teenager, Kevin, and how he interacts with his dad. And then how that later informs his regret about his dad.
Mm.
I think it's very special. I think it's very special. But even then, introducing a character like Charlotte, right? Charlotte is the classmate where Kevin doesn't even remember her name.
I'm so mad about Charlotte. Oh my gosh.
And as cliche as all the other crap that I just said is, you know, with the quarterback and the cheerleader and everything, it's much more nuanced than that. And Charlotte, the relationship that he has with Charlotte within this particular episode is what gives that strength, what gives that nuance legitimacy, in that she reveals that even though, you know, she knew Kevin in high school and he was the most popular kid on the planet, he was Kevin Pearson, right?
Yeah.
She reveals to him it's something that he doesn't even remember, that he stuck up for her when some guy was getting handsy. So he's not just an idiot jock. He's not just...
No. And that's what's so hard is that I think, you know, granted he's popular. He's seen by people as like everyone wanted to be with you. Everyone wanted to be around you. There is a lot of depth to Kevin. And just like you said, you know, he was saying you're paying too much attention to Randall and Kate and I'm drowning. You know, there's this huge other side. And granted, we haven't seen too much of it. We've seen Kevin with the two girls in the beginning of the series, you know, on his 36th birthday. We've seen Kevin finally learn how to be nice with his brother. It's 36 years later, but we finally have gotten it. But I think that this is one of the best things to ever happen to Kevin, which sounds crazy.
Yep.
Which sounds crazy. But Kevin has always had his pretty face, his good looks to just let him coast.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to have real life things to think about and deal with.
I praised This Is Us last episode for having a purpose, for having a message, and something that they don't often get into, which is politics. And for Kevin, you know, Kevin has been a character, I feel like, you know, he doesn't get as much hate as...
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
He doesn't get that.
No.
But I think my feeling about it is that Kevin is not a character that's well-loved.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my gut telling me that.
Agreed.
And this episode finally gives us something more than just a pretty boy who gets hooked on Vicodin, who comes back and gets Sophie. It finally gives us, again, character work. It gives us that insecure, I don't know where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I have done amounts to anything. I screw everything up. And yet somehow I keep like failing myself into success. I fail myself into millions of dollars. That's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
That is heavy, man.
Yeah.
And that's not just the pills talking, in my opinion, right? That's a deep down concern.
Yes.
Do you feel like that?
Yes. Speaking about the pills, him getting that notepad to get more pills while he's hanging out with Charlotte, it whacked me up the head that, once again, Charlotte is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, how are you not noticing that this guy is drinking way too much really bad red wine and that he's having these sweats and these twitches? Like, how are these medical professionals missing it? But then I remember Sophie lives in a completely different state.
Sure.
And Charlotte has wanted to bang Kevin Pearson for what, 20 years?
Yeah.
So maybe she just thinks, whatever, it's jet
Doesn't
lag.
Matter. Yeah. Like I'm actually in bed with the Manny.
Yeah.
I'm in bed with Kevin Pearson, the legend. Like we talked about the legend of Jack Pearson to Charlotte. We're talking about Kevin Pearson. You know
but
what I mean?
But it just bothered me that I'm like, you're a doctor. I like had forgotten until he got that pad. And I was like, oh my God.
Right.
She should know better.
You know, the funny thing is that nobody in this episode sees Kevin for what he is. He's literally telling people, I do not deserve this award. Mm-hmm. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
and people are still cheering for him. Mm-hmm. Charlotte is still thinking of that this is Kevin Pearson, the number one, right? And even like the beard that he grows, something that happens naturally. It's something that is probably the only genuine thing he's actually capable of doing right now. People keep asking him if it's for a movie, for a role that it's playing. It's a joke that has gone back to many times. And that, in my opinion, is by design.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you something. When you repeat something like that, it's giving you a specific message. And in my opinion, that specific message is this. It's as if his depression, which is signified by his beard, is also a role that he is playing for mm-hmm. these people. Nothing about Kevin, whether it be football or the Manny, is real. Everything about Kevin so far is fleeting. And nobody can see that. They just see him as an actor, or mm-hmm. they see him, you know, is just covering it all up. And he's not even hiding it. Like I said, he's telling the whole thing. He's telling everybody, yeah, I suck. But nobody's there because they're just, nobody's listening to him because they're just happy that Kevin Pearson is there. It's, I freaking love this episode.
Yeah, you know, talking about nobody listening, I mean, here's Kevin going through some, I mean, he was, let's be real, in the teenage part where he's wearing the crop top, about to meet the coach from Pitt, all this stuff, he was a real jerk. But what's so tough is that we didn't get any more depth about him actually struggling with the fact that his dad has an abuse problem. You know, you get a more softer side of him though when he is in the hospital and he does get to apologize and tell his dad, I'm sorry I acted that way. I did write him a letter to the coach. But it just sucks because we're seeing this just cocky guy who's the number one jersey, who is number one, but he doesn't get the attention that he wants from his parents. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he struggles with it, but the way it manifests is in two different ways.
Yes.
One, it's with anger.
Yes.
When Jack says, I was embarrassed by you. Like, you know, like when your dad or your mom says that, mm-hmm. You embarrassed me. That sucks to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. But Kevin's response was, yeah, I know the feeling well. Oh, man, that must have cut
my
Jack.
Gosh.
And then when Jack's like, get out of my face. Wait, no, get back here.
I loved that. I am so scared of having teenage kids, by the way. This episode made me go, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not ready for it either. I'm not. I want my kid to stay like kindergarten, first grade age.
Yep.
I think that's going to be great for me. And then the other way that I think this feeling manifests itself is, I think there are two different ways. One, he realizes that he's no longer going to play football, and he realizes, holy crap, maybe if I apologize, mm-hmm. all of this will go away, mm-hmm. and I can play for Pitt. I don't care.
Yes.
And the other way, too, is when he sees his dad kneeling and praying on the phone, well, after hanging up the phone. What was your take on that? Do you think Kevin was looking at it like with pity, or do you think Kevin was looking at it with empathy, or do you think Kevin was looking at it like anger? Like your
anger.
Really?
I think I was seeing it as anger because Kevin's superhero isn't a superhero. And I think that this has been a really hard thing for Kevin to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And Kevin has always wanted to be just like his dad.
Sure.
And now he's seeing something that he definitely doesn't want to be. And his superhero is not perfect, and I think it's really messed him up.
Yep, I can attest to that. I can definitely say that superheroes do have a tendency to mess you up. The funny thing is that when Kevin sees his dad, and perhaps you're right, my darling, maybe he's looking at it with anger.
Mm-hmm.
My read on it was he felt bad.
Okay, yeah.
My read on it was that he felt bad for his dad, number one, but he also felt bad for how he himself has treated his dad, mm-hmm. given his dad's struggles, mm-hmm. right? But I found it extremely poignant that I don't know if this was scripted, perhaps it was, but I found it extremely poignant that even though Kevin is angry or feeling bad for his dad, whatever it is, when his dad is praying on his knees, his episode essentially ends with Kevin on Charlotte's lawn on his knees.
Ooh.
Saying, I'm in pain. I just need someone to help me.
Oh my gosh. Look at that.
Right, right. I just need someone to help. Can someone please help me? Because Jack's necklace is more important to Kevin than anything in this world. And then that's okay. Because, you know, I think this delivered this portion. I almost played this portion. This portion of the episode delivered on both sets of timelines. Mm-hmm. It delivered on the cockiness of Kevin when he was a teenager, but it also delivered on the insecurity of Kevin as he's an adult.
Yeah.
Because again, like you said, like I said, Jack's necklace is more important to him than anything, more important than getting laid, more important than his pride, his dignity, anything. Mm-hmm. But he devolves in the same place. But instead of praying with a purpose to a single God or to and praying with a purpose like Jack did to God, Kevin prays for anything or to anyone. Mm-hmm. I just need someone to help me. Oh. It's out of desperation as opposed to purpose.
Can we just say a little something about that necklace, by the way?
Of course, yeah.
Jack saying that the necklace got him out of a bad situation mm-hmm. in Vietnam.
Right.
What do you think that means?
Where he was hopeless. My guess is that his brother died.
Yep.
And Jack didn't know what to do.
Yep.
And somebody, perhaps maybe my guess is that a local mm-hmm. gave it to Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be that. That's my guess.
Yep.
I think that's, you know, that was probably one of my hot takes. So thank you very much for ruining that.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just playing.
And then the other thing we have to talk about is the bomb that is dropped on us at the end when Kevin finally goes to Randall's. I don't know how he got there. He got some kind of an Uber, shows up all sweaty, all mess, and Randall tells him, "It's okay, man. I know. Kate lost the baby."
Right.
Oh.
Which I think plays into Kevin's insecurity and what we've been watching with Kevin so far, meaning this, as if it were a cruel joke, right? We finally get to a point where Kevin has reached his breaking point. He realizes, holy crap, it cuts from Kevin saying on the lawn, "I need someone to help me," to Kevin knocking on the door, and there's Randall, and Kevin saying, "I need to tell you something." But like it has happened for most of his life, his feelings and his experience are kind of pushed to the side in favor of one of the other two kids.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to take care of Kevin? Someone has to do it.
Right. It has to be Randall, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
It has to be Randall because that's what Kevin...
Or Miggy.
maybe. You know what? Maybe.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
It's possible.
I'd be down with Miggy coming in.
I think it'd be great for Miggy to do that with Kevin.
Pigs in a blanket.
All the pigs in the blanket.
All the pigs.
I think it'd be actually, you know, I think that'd be thematically great for Miggy to come in and do
Miggy
that.
Miggy and Randall.
But no, specifically Miggy, because, you know, it's Jack's best friend coming in and they finally had somewhat of a breakthrough. And it would be as if like Miggy was helping Jack with his addiction, so on and so forth. But I think, man, sweetheart, you might be writing a better show. You might be writing a better show.
Well, okay. I'm down with Miggy. I'm down with Randall. I'm down with Kevin being at Randall's for a while because his relationship with his nieces is one of my favorite
relationships. Agree. And then having Deja there too will be one of those things.
Yep.
I think that'll be something as well.
Yep.
It has to be Randall because that's, again, what Randall did for, well, Kevin did for Randall when Randall was at his most worst. Right. But I also feel like too that Kate might be in there. I think she might be coming back from California. She might be there with Kevin and Randall coming from
we'll
California.
Find out.
It'll be interesting. I mean, she did lose the baby, right?
I know. Oh gosh, I can't even. All right, let's.
Like, it's crazy talk, but I, you know, it might happen.
Let's go to Puzzle Watch 2018.
Okay, so.
Do we have a sound effect for this?
We don't have a sound effect for it.
We need one.
I think we probably should, but what's it going to be?
Next time, we'll find one.
Okay, fine, we'll find one. Anyway, this isn't a huge Puzzle Watch 2018, but I think it's important to note. Jack does give the necklace to Kevin right when he breaks his leg, obviously. Okay. But we've also seen that Kevin is able to get up, possibly be healthy with his knee, because even in the clip here he says, "Oh, he'll recover, he'll walk again, ladies and gentlemen, only in time for his beloved father to pass away." So I wonder if the cast comes off by the time
okay I feel like we had seen a shot of him at the funeral.
Right, but I don't think we saw a cast. I think we've only seen his face. Because we did see a shot of him in the funeral in this episode, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
As he's having that extraordinarily amazing, fantastically edited scene with him being alone on this football field.
Yep, yep.
And notice that the football field, it's dark out, but it's well lit.
Lit, yes.
But also, it's empty. Where Kevin found his greatest dreams and his greatest accomplishments, in his opinion, it's all an empty field.
Yep.
So it's... And that scene almost... It bordered almost hokey, but with Justin Hartley's performance and the way that they edited it...
It's amazing.
It was spectacular.
It was amazing.
My darling, do you have any...
the puzzle. Takes, tell me again. Explain puzzle watch again.
Putting together the puzzle of Jack's death. More clues.
I have one.
Okay, what do you got for puzzle watch? Do you have
the fuse box or the cert? Why is the electricity out and all those candles?
Oh, excellent!
Can't that cause fires? I don't really know.
Yeah, the fuse box. If those things are like the breakers, right?
Yeah,
it's not fuses anymore. It's breakers. If the breakers don't pop, then there's an issue because then it can start an electrical fire.
So I don't know if like candle usage because the things are going out or if the breakers.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bam. I'm so nervous.
A winner.
Absolutely.
I am so nervous. If the lights go out in another episode, that's going to be it.
Great job.
Oh, thank you.
That is an excellent puzzle watch 2018 right there.
When lights go out and there's not like anything attached to it, you know what I mean? It's not like,
Why, like, why is it consistently shorting? Like, this is obviously a thing.
So that's, I'm just a little nervous. If the lights go out again, I'm going to be like, crap, it's going to happen.
It's possible.
Okay. So how about you?
My hot take. Well, we have to do a hot take. Okay.
Hot take.
All right. Hold on.
Oh, see, this one has a sound effect.
Yes, it does.
At some point, I'll understand how our podcast works.
We were only 27 episodes into it, Marvin.
NBD. NBD.
All right. So you got a hot take of the week?
Nope.
All that build up for nothing.
I don't understand the difference between a hot take and a puzzle watch. What's a hot? Is a hot take not about death? Like plan out something that's
It could be anything. Hot take is like, hey, man, it's just like.
Oh, I want Kevin to hang out with Randall and have a great time with his nieces.
Okay. All right. That's not necessarily a hot take, but that's more of a desire.
Okay. And Miggy.
A hot take would be a prediction.
Oh, I don't really. I'm not very good at that. You can take it over. Take it over.
Okay, the hot take for me, this series of episodes will absolutely play out like a puzzle. I think we're going to see the interactions, all of these interactions between each of the characters. For example, I think we're going to see why Toby and Kate are calling Kevin. Mm-hmm. Now, eventually we know that Kate loses the baby. Perhaps it is because she has lost the baby. But I don't know it, but it just it. I think we're gonna see that layered on top of each other, right? I think we're gonna see how Randall will be made aware of how the baby was lost.
Yes.
But I also think that these episodes will all take place at the same time period during, I think, both the flashbacks.
Oh, cool!
And the present time. So, like, we see Kate with the dog cleaning up pee, right?
Yes.
I think we're gonna see why she's doing that. I think we're going to see...
I hate dog pee.
I think we're going to see the Kate and Rebecca interactions in the stands as Kevin gets hurt. I think we're going to see the disappointment in Randall when he has to come back from college with his dad to go visit Kevin in the hospital.
Oh, no, you're right.
I think we're going to see all of that.
And, all of it.
I think that's how these three episodes are going to play out. My darling, are you ready to close this?
Yes, I am.
Are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yep.
All right. You know, everybody, I apologize for having so much energy during this podcast. And I also apologize for getting a little emotionally deep at the beginning.
You should also apologize for swearing.
I did swear once. That's how much energy I had. Let's put it that way. So, all right, everybody, thank you so much. Let's close this bad boy out.
Guys, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. We are officially less than a month away from season 3 of This Is Us. So do us a favor. right now. Get your phone, if you're not driving, and screenshot it so you can share that in your Facebook stories, in your Instagram stories, or even better yet, give us a shout out in one of your statuses and let people know, hey, you like This Is Us? Check out This Is Us too. Another great thing you can do is leave us an iTunes review. Moneyball1 said, I'm fast becoming a Mary and Blake fan. I listened to their Outlander podcast and I'm so happy that they chose This Is Us. I probably wouldn't have watched it without them. Hurry up and catch up, guys.
We are on the way to do that, my friend.
We're rocking and rolling. So guys, thank you so much for tagging along with us, for crying with us, for laughing with us. But for now,
especially,
my name's Mary.
Especially me. All the crying. Sorry.
I'm
You're Mary. My name's Blake.
And this is us too.